Welcome or welcome back to Whores for Whore. I'm Mariah.
And I'm Kayla.
And I don't know. I feel
like we're back.
Yeah. How do we do this again? But yeah, we're back. The hiatus was a little bit longer than we anticipated, yeah. But
yeah,
we came back. That's what matters, people. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, but okay. Oh, yeah. I guess we could tell you what happened. So I, since we left, got my master's degree. I moved. Kayla and I now live in the same state on opposite sides, but back in Missouri.
It's okay. It's like a 3.5-hour drive. It's not bad.
Yeah, and I think that the next episode coming out on the podcast feed will be a duo episode, right? That's whenever you guys are coming to visit, I think. Okay, but
we'll have to iron that out.
Yeah, an episode that's going in the future.
There will be an episode. We just have to iron out dates.
Which is together, and that'll be our first ever together episode. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
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 We're gonna have to do something special for it.
Heck yeah. Oh, also, if you go back in the feed, you might notice that episodes 2 through 11 are missing. And that is on purpose. So Kayla and I decided to delete those episodes. Not delete them, but take them off just because we like really didn't do the cases justice back then, to be honest. And we...
No.
Even 2 years ago, I guess what, a year and a half ago, we thought we were completely different people. So I think that having a chance to do those cases justice and also not be so polarizing is a good idea for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I'd like to redo some of my cases just because, like, with the mindset that I have now. Because even back then, I thought I was pretty open-minded, and I'm just not so sure about that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about, the opinions I was espousing. And that's fine. Like, that's what we're all here to do, is to learn. So I think that we've learned a lot since then, and we've just decided that we can do those cases better. So,
yeah.
So with that said, we're going to sprinkle re-recordings within the feed. And so these aren't, like, they're not previously recorded. They're still going to be live-ish episodes of us in current time doing them. So
that's not just past recordings being thrown back out. So if you just, when you see those, give it a chance,
because
we've decided to come back at them.
Yeah, and also those episodes were under the previous name, Perfect Dismay. Mm-hmm. And we are the Whores for Whore.
Absolutely. So. The only ones. The only ones.
But yeah, so this week it's going to be one of those re-recordings, and it is the murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German, more commonly known as the Delphi murders.
I know, you're so excited.
What? Oh, man. The only thing I really remember about recording this episode was being like, oh my God, this episode is so fucked up. Like,
this was the first one, right?
No, we did cults for the first episode, and that first episode is still up, just because, I don't know, I really love that one. Yeah, and people love that one, too. I think that's the most listened one, and that's the one where it's literally just us going straight into the case. I don't think there's any talking at the top. It's just, so anyway, this call, like, it's straight in.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't even handle that back then, though. We were like, okay, this is what we're here for. Go straight into it.
Yep. Oh, wait, one other thing I want to talk about is that I think there might be a little bit more of my recordings in the feed, just because I'm the one that's out of school now, and I got a new job. I work remote now, so I'm the one that has a little more free time, but Kayla's cases will still be sprinkled in. There just might be a little bit more of me, so...
Yeah, I also got a new job, and unfortunately, instead of working remote, now I'm 100% on site.
Yeah, when Kayla was our remote girl. No, I didn't even think about that.
And now my time is, like, where limited. Did it go? I don't even know.
Yeah, like scheduling this to record, we've rescheduled it, what, 3 times now? Like
3 times this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, so. But yeah, finally I have some free time, so hopefully we'll be good to go. Ow, I hit my little, my head. This is what you come for. Okay, so let's get back to the case. Delphi, Indiana was your typical small town with a population of just over 3,800 in 2010. Notably in 2017, the sheriff described the town by saying, quote, it's just your topical. It's just your typical small town USA. Everybody knows everybody. However, the feelings of safety and familiarity were quickly ripped away when the bodies of 13-year-old Abigail Williams and 14-year-old Liberty German were discovered on February 14th, 2017. Isn't that Valentine's Day? That
doesn't really seem... Oh, it was. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, even worse.
It doesn't really seem like that long ago, but you gotta think about it. That was like 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was over 6 years ago.
That was in the before times. The times before the pandemic. It's that long ago.
Oh, you're right.
I don't even think I deployed in 2017.
I just got back.
Yeah.
Actually, I wasn't even back yet in February.
Oh, wow. So it, whenever you say it, it doesn't feel like that long ago, but it is. It is quite a bit of time.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like 6 years ago, though.
No.
Yeah.
Had to unzip my jacket. All right, so the two girls were better known by their nicknames, Abby and Libby. They were described as having vastly different personalities, but were inseparable. So just really two cute best friends. They both went to the same middle school, known as Delphi Community Middle School, and were active on the sport teams, both of them playing softball and volleyball. The girls were also members of the school's band and played the saxophone. That's cute.
Both of them?
I think it was both of them. Might have been one. Actually, in one of the photos, both of them are holding like the same instrument that I saw.
That's really cute.
So Abby was described as having an especially close relationship with her mother, Anna, and wanted to pursue a career in forensic science. Libby was a gifted athlete who was living with her grandparents at the time. They described her as wise beyond. They described her as wise beyond her years and that she wanted to become an FBI agent. In an interview with ABC News, her grandmother Becky later said, quote, Libby already had her career path pretty much laid out. She wanted to work with the FBI, she wanted to solve crimes, and she wanted to help people. So cute.
I feel like she probably would have made that.
Me too. And I feel like I can relate to that because when I was younger, around their age, I also thought like, ooh, I'm going to be in the FBI, do all this really cool stuff. So I can relate to that.
Yeah. Mine was, I was going to be a lawyer. And then I think like within 5 years from the time I was determined to be a lawyer, I was like, actually, I should go into the FBI.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
But I never did.
I feel like everyone who likes true crime right now probably at one point was like, I'm gonna be an FBI agent.
FBI is for me. Yeah. Which now I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah, definitely not. Oh, absolutely not. Mm-mm. Yeah, no thank you. So on Sunday, February 12th, the two girls had a sleepover at Libby's house because the school was going to be closed for the holiday on Monday.
February 13th?
Yeah, February 13th, they were off.
Is the holiday? Like, what's the holiday?
Maybe it was like a teacher's meeting or something.
It must be.
Yeah.
It must be one of those.
It had to have been. But either way, the school's closed the next day.
Okay.
Libby's sister, Kelsey, joined them, later stating that they all stayed up late, watching movies, painting, I'm assuming eating snacks.
Obviously.
Talking about whatever teenage girls talk about. Well, I know what teenage girls talk about.
We won't tell those secrets.
Yeah. All right, so the next day, the girls decided to go on a hike at the Monon, I'm sorry, I probably said that wrong, but the High Bridge Trail, which is a part of the Delphi Historic Trail System. However, it was just Libby and Abby as Kelsey decided not to go. Around 1:30 that day, a family member dropped the girls off at the trailhead where they began their hike. Libby's father had planned to pick up the girls later that afternoon around 3. They had a designated spot, but when the girls did not arrive, he assumed they just lost track of time and began calling Libby's cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
However, after a couple of phone calls, he began wandering the nearby trailheads, calling out for them, while simultaneously still calling her on her cell phone, and no one was answering.
Mm-hmm.
After about 45 minutes of this, he called the grandmother, Becky, and Abby's family, where they all began an informal search party.
I'm not throwing shade, but that's super generous. Like, my anxiety would not allow me to wait 45 minutes. Like, within 5 minutes, if you're not calling me back after the second phone call, that's it.
I'm panicking.
We're calling everybody.
Yeah. I'm just going to immediately panic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. I can't do that.
Yep.
So at 5:30, once the girls had still not been found, they contacted the local police where an official search party began. It's reported that by 6 p.m., hundreds of volunteers joined the search. However, they found no evidence, and at midnight, they decided to stop, pause the search, and they would begin in the morning.
What's the thought process behind that?
I think maybe because it was so dark and they were not able to get anything done. But to me, it's also kind of shocking that the police immediately began searching, because how many times have we been told, like,
you have to wait 24 hours.
Maybe it was different since they were in, like a state park. Because
it was a small town.
Well, because it was a state park, like the historic trails or whatever. So maybe because of that, the police were able to say, like, oh, maybe they're actually missing in the woods. But still, why would you call it? Yeah, I don't know why you would call it off.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I don't know. I just feel like if it's getting dark, that's probably the time that they need to be found.
Yeah, right?
Like, you don't want to be out there searching in the dark. Why do we want them out there lost in the dark?
Yeah, teenage girls out there.
Yeah, but that's just my thought process.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. But either way, the next morning, they resumed the search, which surprisingly even included the FBI, dogs, drones, and even divers who began searching the local creek, which that is really fast to have the FBI.
That's exactly what I was thinking. The FBI has a certain criteria.
Yeah.
Which maybe, no, that was 2017. They should still have that criteria. Like,
and divers?
How would that have been approved?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And in the divers, like, okay, so did you immediately jump to...
If you're sending divers out,
yeah.
You jumped.
Okay, so maybe I reported that wrong. Maybe it was just... Either way, listen, guys, this is back from when we started the podcast, so who knows what the hell I was reading. Kelsey, the sister, later stated in an interview that she had, quote, packed a bag with granola bars and a blanket, hoping the girls would need them. They would be so happy to have a granola bar after being outside all night.
I probably would be, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so she just had, like, the right attitude, you know? Like, they didn't think anything bad was happening. Like, okay, these girls are probably lost. Here's a blanket and some snacks.
Yeah.
But sadly, the girls' bodies were found by volunteers that day, less than a mile from where they were dropped off.
So, wait. They had a sleepover on the 12th. They were off of school on the 13th and went hiking on the 13th. And then on the 14th is when they were found. Yeah,
yes.
That's what you said earlier.
Yep. Okay. They were found on the 14th.
That's fast.
Very fast. Yep. Explicit details surrounding the girls' deaths have never been discussed. However, there are a few things that we know for sure. So we know that the girls made it to the Monon High Bridge based on Libby's Snapchat. We also know that a single 40 caliber bullet was discovered near their bodies, with most sources saying that it was an unspent bullet. So I'm imagining that means that it wasn't fired.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
We also know for sure that the girls were not alone on the bridge. 9 days after Libby and Abby's bodies were discovered, the FBI and investigators held a press conference where they released a short video clip of an unidentified man walking towards the girls, which was recorded with Libby's phone. Police believe that Libby, who again wanted to be an FBI agent, recognized that they were in trouble and that this man was bad voodoo, pulled out her phone, and began to record him. At the same press conference, they released sketches of the suspect along with an audio clip of him saying, "Down the hill." Then in April 2019, over 2 years after the murders, the investigators released an updated sketch and a second audio clip of the word "guys" followed by the "down the hill" audio clip.
Which if can be super misleading, yeah. Honestly.
"Down the hill." It is such, and I've listened to it so many times. I feel like if you like true crime, you've probably heard of this case and you've probably seen this photo and the clip. But it's just like, what?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's just not enough to say,
yeah,
to recognize a speech pattern.
Exactly. And then, I mean, they're obviously saying that there's more to the audio that they're not releasing.
Yes. Yeah, because I think that she stuffed it in her pocket with it still recording. So I think they got quite a bit.
But, like, how much of that can they clear up? Because that would be muffled in her pocket.
True, yeah. So maybe the guys down the hill is almost all they have. But why wouldn't you release guys? Why would you only release down the hill?
Yeah, why is guys, like, 2 years later?
Yeah.
But also, weren't the sketches, like, the first sketch and the second sketch, like, vastly different.
Yes. Oh my God. We almost said the same exact thing. I know, yes. Weird. They are so different. It's crazy. I have them on the drive, which for all of our listeners, they will be uploaded to our Instagram. So right now, go check out our Instagram and look at the sketches because they are completely different sketches. But, oh, right here. So during the 2019 conference, the police updated their description of the suspect. They believe the killer was between the ages of 18 to 40 and probably looked younger than he actually was. They estimated that his weight was between 160 to 200 pounds, and they explained that new information and leads have led the investigators to believing that the killer is from Delphi or works in Delphi and frequently visits the area.
I mean, that would...
That makes sense. No, that makes sense.
It does. It does make sense because they were literally, 20, maybe 24 hours between the time they disappeared and they were found. That means that you're able to circumvent the searches.
Yeah. And it almost makes me feel like we know that killers stay to where they're typically comfortable. So, and there's no way that someone in their right mind would murder someone in a park that they don't know. Right? Yeah. Like, there's so many chances that you'd be caught if you don't know where all the trails are and you don't know where the park is laid out.
And it is a public park, so yeah. you're just putting it up to chance that people aren't going to walk by and see or hear something.
Yeah, exactly. At this point, they are saying that, like, the man in the video and the images, the sketches they had drawn up, he is the killer, is what they believe at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So Sergeant Kim Riley of the state police stated, quote, "We have a strong suspicion that the person is either from the area, has visited there before, or has lived in the Delphi area for a number of years," end quote. Did you hear that?
Yeah, what was that?
That was my cat trying to get it. He's like clawing at the handle. So at the same police conference, they asked the public's help in identifying the driver of a vehicle parked near the Monon Bridge on the day Libby and Abby went missing. They explained that the vehicle was parked at the old CPS building between noon and 5 p.m. on the 13th, but no details, including the make, model, color, or license plate, have been released. Which is like, what the hell? So you're just asking for us to identify this car? Like, what was this car here? Like, what the fuck?
I guess, like, they don't want to give too much information because it'll make people leap to, like, anyone they know. But at the same time...
It's so vague. Like, say, okay...
This is a state park, yes?
Yeah, yes.
Where are your cameras?
Yes. That's what I was wondering. Well, hold on. It might not be a state park because it's called, like, historic park trails, so it might be like a county park or something. Yeah,
it's like the ones in Missouri where they're like
just like local. Oh my god. Hello. Both of did our cats hear? Yeah, I heard that.
My cat didn't move.
Oh my god, you have a ghost.
I know
you're haunted.
I'm telling you
something's going on over there.
Dude,
you have a horse. Oh my god, Kayla has this super funny photo. Oh, I'll post it to the Instagram, but it uses the Cardi B lyric, "There's some horse in this house." We are gonna post it to the Instagram. Go look.
No, but there's really quickly, just diverting, sorry guys, when we started hanging up artwork in the house, we started using like the command strips, the Velcro ones, and this artwork is not heavy. And I kid you not, every single photo or like little artwork that we hung up has fallen.
Oh,
with
no.
With the exception of not the one that hangs above Jake's head, the one that hangs above my head. And then one in the hallway that literally tried to take out my cat twice.
Oh my god. Oh no.
Me once, because I was literally about to walk there, and then I like stopped for something and it dropped and I jumped backwards, like almost took me out.
Something hates you living
I'm
there.
I'm telling
with
you,
Jake.
I keep saying that. I'm like, this place is haunted. There's a little ghosty in here.
A little possessive ghost that likes your man. That's what
they're
it is.
Back the fuck up. Anyway, there's my little caveat.
Yeah, haunted house. Okay. Despite having over 48,000 tips come in over the years, the murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German remained ice cold. That is, until October 2022. Mm-hmm. But before we get there, let's discuss the suspects that have popped up over the years.
Okay.
And again, we'll have images of these suspects that we talk about on our Instagram.
Let me get... Oh, these are all pictures. Okay.
Yeah, I know. So the first suspect was a man named Daniel Nations. Daniel is a registered sex offender from Indiana who was in Delphi at the time of the murders and has a known violent background. If I remember, I think it was like domestic abuse, and I want to say a sexual charge, but I'm not sure. He was arrested in September of 2017 in Colorado, so same year the girls were murdered, where he was threatening strangers with a hatchet on Monument Trail.
After?
In September, yeah. So the girls were murdered in February. He was arrested in September.
I missed the September part.
Yeah. At the time, he was driving with expired Indiana tags, which tipped police off, and they found an outstanding warrant for his arrest. His wife, Caitlin, did an interview with the Denver Post, and when asked if she thought her husband had the ability to murder the girls, she stated, quote, I don't really know, but he scares the heck out of me.
Okay. Why are you interviewing with the Denver Post?
Well, she probably just wanted some time in the spotlight.
Okay.
Right? Also, when you
compare
Daniel's mugshot to the first sketch, he does look like the killer.
So that is the first sketch?
Yeah, the more detailed one. And then the second one comes out, and it's like, what the fuck is this? But whatever. however, in February... Oh.
His picture matches the first sketch of the guy in the video, right? The Snapchat video?
Yeah, of the sketch of the suspect that they...
The suspect.
That we are, who is assuming is a killer.
Right.
Yeah, but that's who the police have said that this suspect is believed to be the killer. What's up?
Believed to be.
Yeah.
But until you find the evidence, you can't actually say this is the killer.
Oh, well, that's why they said believed to be. I know, it's sneaky. It's sneaky, but that's why they said this
should
be
a suspect or a person of interest. Yeah.
But in February 2018, the authorities stated that Daniel was no longer considered an active person of interest in the Delphi murders case. Our next suspect is Thomas Bruce, who was brought to the police's attention because he wore a similar hat to the man in the original video, and was near the same height and weight of the suspect.
Please.
Thomas also has a violent past. He was a murderer. He was a pastor in St. Louis, Missouri. Woo woo! Kayla lives there. However, he fatally shot a woman and sexually assaulted two others and is currently in prison. Of note, there's no official evidence linking Thomas to the case. He was just named a person or a potential suspect by the investigators.
Is it this nondescript white dude?
Yeah.
With a white beard?
Yep, just one of them. Yep.
Okay.
So our next suspect is Keegan Klein. In December 2021, authorities began investigating if Keegan was connected to the murders because he had a social media account that was one of the last to speak to Libby before her death.
Why are you talking to that girl?
Because he's a fucking creep. So, according to the probable cause affidavit, Keegan created a social media account named Anthony_Shots where he posed, more like catfished, as a male model to communicate with underage girls and solicit nude photographs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great.
In 2017, he was arrested on 30 charges related to child exploitation and child pornography stemming from a search of his Peru, Indiana home. He is currently awaiting trial.
I don't think the bridge video looks like him, though.
Yeah, I don't think that he looks like our suspect.
Personally, but anyway. He's a piece of work.
But he is a monster, so I can see why they would investigate him.
Yeah, absolutely investigate him. He was talking with her.
Yeah.
So.
And also, okay, this is in no way blaming Libby. This is just me, like, growing up, you know? But he posed as that, like, same buff white dude that, like, every person in 2015 was posing as. Which, like, when you look at it, it's like, yeah, this dude is not fucking messaging me. But if I was 14 and someone was like claiming they looked like that, I'd be like, hot, message me back. Like, oh, so it just made me laugh when I saw the image. Again, no way blaming Libby, but that's just kind of funny.
The one with tattoos?
And his arm is like behind his head and he's flexing in the background, in the bathroom. Yeah. Yes, yeah. It might be that one. Yeah.
Okay. How old is Libby? 14?
She's 14, yeah.
Why are you talking to someone with tattoos and a 3/4 sleeve, my girl?
Yeah, and he's like flexing.
She's like, oh my God, tattoos. Please stop. No, girl. 14 to 16 year old is going to have tattoos. And if they do, you run.
Run away fast. Run. But then in October 2022, the police made a move that shocked everyone. The Indiana State Police arrested a man named Richard Allen and charged him with the murders of Abby Williams and Libby German.
Based off of what?
That's what we're going to get into. But okay. He has not been accused of any crimes. So we're just going to, or I'm sorry, he's been accused, not convicted.
Not convicted.
So we're just going to throw out a blanket allegedly here. This is all allegedly. We will update it whenever he does get convicted. But until then,
this is allegedly. The guy that they recently showed?
Yeah.
Like a week ago?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Who is Richard Allen?
Great question.
Well, at the time of his arrest, Richard was 50 years old, meaning he would have been 44 when he murdered the girls. According to records, he has lived in Delphi since at least 2006 and worked at the local CVS store as a pharmacy technician. His family home that he shared with his wife, Kathy, and raised his daughter in, by the way, was less than a 5-minute drive from where Libby and Abby's bodies were discovered.
Okay.
And whenever I was researching things, all of the people in the town were like, yeah, he seemed like a completely normal dude. Like, nothing stood out about this guy. Following Richard's arrest, the investigators and prosecution released more information that has given us a better insight into what happened on February 13, 2017. So, we now know that the girls' autopsies revealed they died due to blood loss stemming from a, quote, sharp object. Investigators determined that, quote, articles of clothing from the girls were missing from the scene, including a pair of underwear and a sock, end quote. The court documents do make note that the rest of their clothes were found in Deer Creek, which leads me to believe that they were naked when found, and those are the two articles that haven't been discovered, but that's just me interpreting the court documents.
Mm-hmm.
No reports of sexual assault have been made, so that's like the one good thing about this. The investigators noted that the bodies were likely staged and that due to the manner of the killings, the killer would have almost certainly been covered in blood. Lastly, and I'm not sure how they know this, but investigators believe the killer may have taken pictures of the crime and that the victims did not struggle or fight with the perpetrator.
Okay.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
So if it's staged, then it's staged to look like a sexual assault.
Or they could have been posed in ways that make them seem like, okay, the killer was taking photos of this, you know?
Hmm, that's fair.
Because that might be what led them to believe. However, in some of the documents I read, the missing underwear and sock, the investigators think that the killer took that. So in this case, Richard, they think that he took it as like a trophy.
Okay. Have they found it? Probably not.
Not that we know of yet. We also know that at least four other individuals saw a man matching Richard's description on the trails prior to Libby and Abby being dropped off. So again, they were dropped off around 1:30, and most of these people saw Richard, or a man matching Richard's description around noon. They were all young women, and they were together on the trail. Later stated that the man was, quote, kind of creepy, which, like, yeah, I bet looking back he is a little fucking creepy now.
I think any man on a trail is alone creepy. Is
a little creepy. But in their...
not that they're doing anything wrong. It's just...
Yeah, but in the court documents, like, I guess, like, what, you know, it's a small town. They all know each other. And so one of the girls was like, hi. And I guess the guy was like, ugh, and just kept going.
Okay.
Which, like, what the fuck?
Meh.
Meh. There was another individual that I didn't talk about in here, but she saw a vehicle matching one of the vehicles that Richard owns at the building that the police requested additional information about.
But again, if he was on the trail, then his that car makes sense. Would have been there. And yeah. Also, like, how many people own the same kind of car?
The building that the car was parked at, and this is all from memory. I didn't write it down. Sorry if you just heard that. We were literally recording on 4th of July. I didn't write it down. But a woman not in the four groups, the woman who pointed out the car, said that the building that his car was parked at would have been normal. However, it was not parked in a normal location. It was parked at the back of the building. And so that's why she made note of it. Not saying that that's like the smoking gun, but that is right, one but thing. Like,
as if he was
hiding it.
Or hiding something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, didn't want the car to be seen. That makes a little bit of sense. Not that that's
like a smoking gun, like he fucking did it, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you park at the back of the building? That's you. You did it.
Convicted.
You're
a murderer.
That was a joke.
Completely, yes. Richard was originally connected to the murders through ballistics on the unspent bullet found at the crime scene.
Oh.
So according to court documents, the bullet had likely been cycled through a handgun owned by Richard Allen since at least 2001, according to the ballistics. Additionally, back in 2017, when the police were first doing their investigators, Richard was on their radar and admitted that he was on the same trail that Abby and Libby were. However, he stated that he never saw the miners, which is very important because how is your bullet at the scene of their death?
Yes, because they were found, what, less than half a mile from the trail?
Where they were, yes, and they were not on the trail. They were, like, in the woods, which is very important. How, like... you have to be the most unlucky person if a bullet connected to your gun is at the scene of a murder that you were not at.
It just rolled down the hill for half a mile.
Yeah, exactly.
Why do you have a gun in a state historic park?
Yep, exactly.
Site, you know, maybe he was trying to hunt illegally.
But it was like a little pistol. It wasn't even like a hunting rifle. Yeah. Or any, it's a literal handgun, which like. Anyone that's a hunter isn't going to be shooting a deer with their fucking handgun. I'm sorry.
True.
That's weird. Yeah.
But I feel like I know some people who probably would.
Well, we know some dirty people who probably would and would probably be on a suspect list, but hey. However, it is unknown why the investigators did not investigate Richard further back then.
He put himself at, like, on the trail.
He put himself on the trail but claimed that he never saw them.
And then a bullet with his, I'm assuming, fingerprints or DNA.
With, like, the ballistics of his, the unique ballistics of his firearm were carved into the bullet.
But firearm ballistics has been disproven to be scientifically accurate.
Well, Richard has also made, quote, incriminating omissions about the murders since he was arrested. According to the county prosecutor, he has confessed five or six times to killing the girls, making multiple confessions to multiple people, end quote.
But, like, is it a real confession? Is it coerced? Is he looking for attention?
So on one of them, he was actually on the phone with his wife, admitted he killed the girls, and then his wife immediately hung up.
But also...
That's weird.
That is weird, but I feel like I could see him just trying to get back at his wife.
My God, for why?
What? I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I just don't feel like he's got a stable relationship. That's just my own biases coming into play, I guess. I don't know. I'm just coming up with theories. Yeah, that's fucking weird.
That's weird, yeah. Why would you
admit that? Yep. Why would you admit that?
And it's not even that he was admitting it while being questioned. It's that he's admitting it. While he's like on, like, the phone and to just other jailmates.
I feel like it's just like almost attention seeking.
Maybe, yeah.
Not that it's a fake admission. I think it's attention seeking in general.
Well, Richard's defense attorney agrees that he has made incriminating statements implicating himself in the crime, but insist that the statements were, quote, vague and inconsistent with his past not guilty pleas. And that, quote, their clients...
No shit, it's inconsistent.
And, quote, that their client's mental state should be considered. Which is interesting because I saw some reports that Richard was, like, totally normal until he was arrested. But since he's been arrested, he's basically been feigning that he has mental issues. And he's been, like, eating paper and stuff. So he's trying to get the mentally unstable
insanity.
Plea. Insanity. Yeah, insanity. Thank you. I was trying to find the word. I was like, what the fuck is this?
But do you realize that if you did commit a crime?
It's at the especially time.
Especially murder.
It's not about now. It's your mind state at the time of the murder, not about what you're like now. The only thing we care about now is, can you stand trial?
Yeah, yeah. But also, even if you're found not fit to stand trial, you realize you're still going to be locked away. It's just in a padded room instead of a metal room or a concrete room, you know?
And the number...
A padded bed as opposed to the metal bed. Like,
you're still locked away.
A prison is a prison is a prison.
And the number of cases that, like, the insanity plea works for is not a lot. It's actually pretty low. Not enough to be eating paper.
And then also, that's for sure. And then also, you're going to go into this mental institution, and as soon as they deem you fit to leave, you're going to stand trial.
Yeah, they're just going to walk you right across the road. Like, here you go. Yeah.
Do people not get that?
I don't think they do.
They think that, oh, yeah, I'm just going to this little...
It's going to be so much better.
Mental institution. They're going to give me some meds. I'm going to be fine. And then they're going to be like, you're released. Yay, you.
Yeah.
Free pass for murder. Like, it's not how that works.
Exactly.
They're not just going to let you roam free.
Yep.
We don't even let, you know, people who are in jail for fucking weed charges roam free right now. Why would they're you let still, a murderer, yeah. a potential murderer, roam free?
Exactly, okay. Yep. So the exact nature of the confessions and incriminating statements have not been revealed to date, but they likely will be during the, you know, jury mm-hmm. trial.
I'm sure they're holding information back for the trial.
So Richard Allen has pleaded not guilty to the charges and is expected to face a jury trial in January 2024. And that is the hopefully soon to be solved murders of Abigail Williams and Liberty German, also known as our redo episode.
Redo number one.
Number one.
I really hope that it's like, it gives closure to this case.
Yeah, to the families.
But it doesn't even start until January, and you know that it's going to go on for so long. It's a criminal case.
Yeah, and it's one that's in the spotlight. And I'm assuming that they're probably going to be like, so from what I was reading, the defense attorney is trying to get the ballistics thrown out. So I'm sure that the case will probably be delayed for all of those reasons. And then even if he is convicted, there are appeals. And, you know, just a long process that has to be gone through.
Well, and I do know because when I was going through my criminal justice degree before I decided to switch majors, I did have a class that I was supposed to take mm-hmm. for firearm ballistics. And in the middle of me taking the courses for my major, they removed it stating that firearms ballistics is not
legit. Yeah.
It's not legit. So
I'm interested and okay, so also the girls are also the girls are believed to have died by that quote sharp object, and I know that they recovered a lot of knives and like weapons like that from Richard's home whenever they searched it, so that could mm-hmm. be a possibility. Maybe they found the missing clothing that was taken, and maybe they even have DNA evidence that they mm-hmm. just haven't, because like you said, I bet they're keeping a lot of things close to the chest for the trial.
And honestly, they should.
Yeah, as you should. Yeah, let yeah. that come out in court and let the jury decide. Like, that's not for you and I to talk about on the podcast right now.
And I do hope that they have extra like actual evidence, and not just, it's not just them going off of the firearms ballistics and the fact that he put himself like in the park. I just
that is the most important part to me, is that he put himself in the park. I don't know about his alibi, like what he's claiming mm-hmm. he did. Also, there was a whole nother suspect, like the Logan guy where the girls' bodies were found. However, he was ruled out and ultimately died in 2020. So like that case kind of, or that lead kind of died, but.
And also they were looking at Richard Allen before, right? But they never went anywhere with it.
Yeah, so. But they never followed up. So he was at least interviewed. At least he was looked at. But he was never named a person of suspect until all of a sudden the arrest.
Yeah, and then, but did you, they had the bullet already, right?
Yeah, so maybe they were just matching it to people. In my mind, how I'm imagining this happened is like the Logan guy who owned the property died. They had to go back to all their other suspects. Then they're looking at their weapons, all the, you know, the weapons that they confiscated from Richard. They're like, oh shit, this matches this. Like, this is the type of bullet that'd be shot out of this weapon. He put himself there. We have all this extra evidence that we haven't released. Like, he's our guy. Because if you think about it, it had to go before a grand jury and it passed. They chose to indict him, arrest him.
So they choose to press charges based off of the evidence that right? they have, which could, and not only that, but also based off of if they feel like they can convince a jury to convict the person. So you could have circumstantial evidence and still yeah. convince a jury, which yeah. I don't know if I agree or disagree with, like.
It had to be really good circumstantial evidence. Yeah. And adding to is like, I didn't even go into this, but his vehicle matches the vehicle that was parked behind the building. All of the women, all of the girls and that other woman gave really descriptive eyewitness accounts of the person who they believe is Richard. They identified Richard in lineups. So, like, all of that is really good evidence, too.
That is good that they identified him specifically. Were they separated?
I don't know. I didn't go into all of that because, God, this would have been 3 hours long. I don't know. I'm excited. I have, like, hope for this case. I hope that they have really good evidence that led them to the indictment and brought the, and will bring them to a conviction, bring closure to the families. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just hopeful that they have good evidence.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what evidence they do have and, like, how
it's going to play out. We'll update you guys. Once the case starts, if we get anything else, we'll provide updates. But for now, that's our first episode back.
Thanks for joining us, guys. Let's see how many listens we get.
And we're so excited. But I think for now, we might stick to the two-week episodes. Right, Kayla?
We should, because I have every other week I have quizzes due. So we should actually, we should do like 3 weeks in between this next recording to get me on the opposite schedule of my quizzes.
Okay, that'll be good. Yeah, so we'll release another one shortly, and then after that it'll be every 2 weeks, I guess. But who knows? With us, it's probably going to change in like 30 seconds. So just watch out on our Instagram.
Seriously, I have basically a year left of school, so hopefully I can get a remote job soon and then can have more time to devote to the podcast also. But
yeah.
Since I have this new job, I have to, like, actually
schedule work.
Everything out. I can't do schoolwork at work or anything. I have to do it at home. It's crazy. Yeah. Weird. They have to do homework at home.
Ugh, life. But thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.